Logging on. Amen. Yes, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. This is that was the fifth of me of April. I'm pushing it May, fifth month. Yes, and we are together again in one accord, just
It's not.
praising the Lord. Yeah,
Yes.
we are together again. Not an easy road, but it's possible with Christ. Amen. And as we wait for others to join, I just want to go ahead and greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. So only God can take us through successfully, whatever we are going through with our hands lifted up and our mouth full with praise, fulfilled with praise. We know that we can make it through. Just with your hands lifted up means total surrender.
Jesus.
And the praise that comes from your mouth, in spite of, despite of, and in spite of what you're going through, praises. It's amazing what praises can do.
It's amazing, really.
When you just forget all about yourself and concentrate on him
Man,
and
worship.
just worship. There is power in the name of Jesus. And when we come together, it's an atmosphere where we sharpen each other. It's an atmosphere where we lean on each other. I was sharing with someone today that we were made for community. We weren't made to be alone. One shall chase 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight. If we were doing mathematics, we would say if one is chasing 1,000, that means two can put 2,000 to flight. But with the calculation from glory, it said two shall put 10,000 to flight. And we were made to lean and encourage each other in the faith. And as we come together, let us not take it lightly that we have such liberty. It's all because of the grace and mercies of Almighty God that we are not consumed. And we his mercies are new every day. And we just give God thanks for that newness that we're experiencing. So many things could have happened to us. So many things that we could have got caught into, or so many things that we could have been doing tonight. But we chose to come together in a form like this. And we know that God honors commitment when we are committed to him and for his purpose and for his cause. We know that great and mighty things will happen. Amen. Yes, so without further ado, I want to welcome us all. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I trust God that you are depending totally on him. Mankind is full with failure, but with God, he cannot fail. His words are true. And we can take him at his word. And so while others join, we're going to go straight into our opening prayer. And tonight, amen, 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 amen. Let us pray. Lord, we just give you thanks and we give you praise for your grace and for your mercies. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your loving kindness. You showed us so much love. Yes, mighty God, you open up to us and you give us that which we need for a time like this. Help us, mighty God, that as we walk the walk of faith, that we will see your hand and you will, we will hold on to it so that you will guide us into a path of righteousness. Our righteousness before your mighty God is as filthy rag. But we know, Lord God, that when you are the one that is instrumental, involved in our daily affairs, then we know that we have nothing to fear because you are the one that is piloting us. Many a times, mighty God, we fail you knowingly and unknowingly. So tonight we come and we repent on that, Lord. We pray that you will cleanse our heart afresh, that your word, mighty God, as it comes forth tonight, will fall on good soil. Every thorn that is in our life, mighty God, we break it down in the name of Jesus. Remove it. Every stone, Lord God, every stony hearts and anything, mighty God, that your word cannot itch on to, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Every care of this world that would want to associate itself with us, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we pray, mighty God, that our soul will be good ground, that as your word come forth, we will leave with something. We clear the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Every demonic forces, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we pray, mighty God, that your word, that as it come forth with power and with clarity, it will cause in us, Lord, something to hold on to in a time like this. We need you, mighty God. We invoke your presence and your spirit even now. And we pray, Spirit of the living God, that you'll fall afresh upon us. Creating us, Lord, a clean heart. We pray, mighty God, for unity among us as brethren. Lord, that we will be in one accord, because we recognize that when we are in one accord, in oneness, then when your spirit come, it will consume us like a fire. Yes, mighty God, it will set our soul ablaze for your might, for your kingdom's sake. And so, Lord God, we remove every obstacle that would cause any barrier in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that our life will be transparent before you tonight. And as your word would come, mighty God, it will cause us, Lord, to really feel your presence near us. Any hindrance, mighty God, anything that would deflect your word, we just remove it right now. And we pray, Spirit of the living God, that you will fall afresh. Put us in a different, circumstances even now, a different mindset, mighty God. Work on our minds and our thought. Let us forget everything that so easily beset us. Everything, mighty God, we lay it aside in the name of Jesus, because tonight we want to get something out of this Bible study, mighty God. We want to hear your voice speaking to us. We want to feel your presence near us. We want to forget all about ourselves and just concentrate on you, mighty God. And so, Lord God, remove every sickness, every pain, mighty God, every anxiety, every depression. We break every yoke in the name of Jesus, and we set your people free to worship. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for our speaker tonight, that as she present, Lord God, it will come, the word will come forth with clarity and with power. And it will resonate upon our heart. Yes, mighty God, so that when a praise come out of our mouth, it will reach glory and you will be glorified, Lord. We pray, mighty God, for everyone that will take part tonight, reading, praying. We pray, mighty God, that the liberty of your Holy Spirit will be among us. And as we come, Lord God, to be used as an oracle for you, as we open our mouth, it will be filled, Lord God, with substance that you can, that you can absorb. Yes, mighty God, substance will come from a life that you can absorb, and you will be pleased with the sacrifice of praise tonight. We pray, mighty God, for all who come, who join tonight. We pray, God, that as they come, that Lord, you will break every transition, everything, mighty God, that would hold the line hostage, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and we pray, mighty God, that your people will log on without any problem in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that your word will water our soul in a real way tonight. Lord, have your way and have your sway in and among us as a people. Mm-hmm. As we tell you thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So lovely the world that he gave us his son. We thank God. We thank God for the gift of his son tonight. And tonight, our presenter will be, she's no stranger to us. She has blessed us many times on this platform. One in whom the Spirit of the Lord lives. One who has given herself unreservingly unto the Lord. You know, one who have a constant connection and communication with God, who knows his voice. We thank God for lives that are set apart for his glory. Lives that really hang on to the cross of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's the only one that can bear our burdens. Amen. And so without further ado, I turn over to our dear sister Camille. Dear sister Camille, as she present to us tonight. Sister Camille, let us just stretch our hands to her as we ask God to use her. Use our Lord, use our for thy glory, use our Lord, let she tell the story, Lord, she will obey, there's no other way, use our Lord. Bless the Lord.
Bless the
Camille.
In the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Greetings, everyone. Greetings, Deacon. I bless the Lord once more for this opportunity, you know, to be here to share with you one more time. I don't take it for granted, you know. It could have been otherwise. I remember planning 2 Saturdays ago to be on the platform, and I was only able to listen in based on what was happening. So the fact that I'm here to share tonight, you know, I give God glory, and I'm grateful unto his name. Bless the Lord. Tonight, my intention is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to wrap up the book of Joshua that we have been looking at for some weeks now. And I'm just going to go right into it. When we recap, we remember Joshua, who took over from Moses, who was a fierce and remarkable leader. He was obedient and to the instruction of the Lord. And he led the Israelites through Jordan and dry land. He led the armies through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they broke down the fortified walls of Jerusalem to praise and worship. Joshua, I think we ended where Joshua was not being deceived by the Gibeonites and was lured into signing that peace treaty with them, that they will not cause any harm unto them. And so we're going to pick up from there tonight and journey through to the end of this wonderful book of the Bible. Now, we will see where the king of Jerusalem heard that Joshua had now signed the treaty with Ai and Jericho, had now defeated Ai and Jericho, and had now signed the treaty, peace treaty with the Gibeonites. So these kings now became afraid, and so they gathered together and they said, all right, we're going to set out to destroy Gibeon, right? They were terrified of them because Gibeon had a lot of strong warriors. And so because of that, they gathered the Amorite kings, you know, and went and planned the attack to attack Gibeon. Amen. And so when the Gibeonites learned about this, so they heard about this, that, you know, the kings are coming to attack them. And when they heard about this, they sent to Joshua for help. This is where they sent to Joshua for help. And they said, you know, we need your help. We need some strength. So Joshua and his entire army, they left Gilgal where they were camping, and they set out for Gibeon. And when they left, the Lord would have assured them that, you know, victory is yours and no one will be able to stand up to you. So they had that assurance from Holy God that, you know, they should go out and fight because he has their back pretty much, right? And when we look at when I was looking at it, I was saying, boy, God really honor Joshua promised, you know, the promise that Joshua made to the Gibeonites to say, I'm not going to harm you. That treaty that they signed, even though Joshua was strict into signing that treaty, we see where God still honor Joshua promise. You know, when I think, we say, what a God, you know? Yeah, he still honored Joshua's promise. And so they went and they fought, Joshua and his army, they fought against the Amorite kings who came down. When Joshua honored the promise, the last time we spoke, we said, your word is your bond. And because he gave his word to them, he pretty much honored his word, you know? And the people were quarreling and they were fear. They didn't want to go. And so Joshua told them if they don't go, that they would be at the hand of God, you know? And so they had to keep their promise. And so Joshua went. And when we look at it, I was just focusing on his... I was focusing on his attitude while he went. He made the promise, even though he was deceived into making the promise. When it was time for him to go and fulfill that promise and to, you know, offer support to them, he didn't murmur about it. He didn't complain and say, boy, you tricked me, I'm in and come. And, you know, he went just the same. He said, I made that promise and I'm going to keep that promise, right? He had a good attitude while he did this. And when I look at it and I examine, you know, us as individuals, sometimes we do something for some persons, and the nature of what we do sometimes is supposed to glorify God. The act in itself is supposed to glorify God. But because of our attitude towards it, even though the act is something good and should bring glory unto God, our attitude kind of just take away, it defeat the purpose of us doing it. We're blessing somebody with something. The Holy Spirit has laid it on our heart. Bless Sister Thelma with so-and-so. And instead of, and I go to bless her. But then I walk and I tell Deacon Scott, you know, say so-and-so. And I tell Sister Dorothy, you know that so-and-so. And I tell Sister Ava, you know that so-and-so. And you know, your attitude towards it. And it just takes away from the act in and of itself. And so when we look, one of the things that I took away, I said, boy, Joshua really had a good attitude, even despite the fact that he was lured into this, he was tricked into signing the treaty, he had a good attitude. And I feel like that is something that we can take away. You know, we don't allow our attitude to defeat the purpose or defeat the weight of the act in and of itself. Joshua didn't complain about the deceit, nor did he hold it against them. When he found out, he confronted them, yes, but then he moved on, you know, and he ran to their rescue when they needed them. And that's an honor. I believe that's an honorable thing to do. You know, it shows real, genuine loyalty, you know, just running to their rescue. I pledge to do it. I'm going to do it. Though the circumstances have changed, I'm going to honor my word. I think that's honorable. And so when they went, the Israelites chased and killed the Amorites, some of them, not all of them. You know, they chased them down and killed some of them with the sword. But the word of God says that the Lord took care of the others. God sent a mighty hailstorm, which killed more of the Amorites than the Israelites killed with their sword. My God. So when God gave Joshua the word, you know, and he said to Joshua, listen, I am with you. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said, go, you know, victory belongs to you. God wasn't joking about it, because even though they weren't able to kill all of them with the sword, God stepped in. The supernatural help stepped in and brought this mighty hailstorm, you know, and was able to kill the rest of them. And when we look at it, we say, boy, Joshua really had supernatural help. And this is just evidence to show that this battle that they were fighting, it, God used them to fight it, yes, but it's not their battle. It belongs to the Lord. And so when he needed to step in, that's exactly what he did. The battle was not Joshua. It belongs to Almighty God. And when we look at the scripture further down, we see the hand of God. That's not the only place where there is evidence of the hand of God. When the war started, Joshua called on God. When they were down there and they were fighting with the sword, Joshua called on God in further on in this same chapter, and said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon, and let the moon stand still over the valley of Ajalon. And just like how Joshua would have asked the Lord to allow it to happen, God honored Joshua's request.
Hallelujah.
Access that miraculous power of Almighty God. You can imagine the sun standing still for a period of time. The day was extended in one area while the night was extended in another area. My God, the word of God says that has never happened before, and it has never, there's no record of this happening again, you know. But Joshua had access to this miraculous power that Jesus have. And as children of God, you know, remember, just like the children of Israel, we are called to a life of consecration. We are called to a life of accessing the power of God. We have access to that same power as children of God. Yes, man, the power has not changed. It's the same power we have access to, that power that exceeds every expectation, that limitless power of Almighty God. We have access to that power as children of God. My God. Now, there is evidence that this battle did not belong to Joshua, like I said before. And so, even in our lives now, we might be fighting some battles, you know, and we might be feeling overwhelmed, and we might be feeling like we're going under. But tonight, I just assure you tonight that the battle is not yours. It's not yours. God is using you as a soldier to fight it, but it doesn't belong to you. You know, don't own it. Don't take ownership of it. Give it to Almighty God, because that is what he wants anyway. That's what he wants. And that's the only way that we are sure, we're certain of victory, when we hand it over to Almighty God. When we take it up on our own, then we will lose. Amen? But when we hand it over to Almighty God, that is when we're certain of victory. It's not your battle that you're fighting now. It belongs to God. So hand it to him and allow him to guide you through fighting those battles. Amen? The word of God says, God will fight for us and we will hold our peace. My God. And that's an assurance. That's a promise. God is going to fight for me and I'm going to hold my peace. That means that the battle is not mine. It was his in the first place. When we look at the prayer that Joshua prayed, Joshua said, let the sun stand still. Big prayer, no? Big prayer that. And when we look, let us look in, let us take a moment, 30 seconds, look into your lives, and let us examine the scope of our prayers. Are we trying to limit a limitless God? Do we put Jesus in a box and just allow and say, God, I want you to do this for me. And God, I want this door to open for me. And we limit God. My God. We don't put it in front of him and say, God, which step do you want me to take? Because the truth is, you know, you see the power of God. When the word of God says that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we are able to ask or think, it means that our mind spaces, it's not, we don't have the capacity, hallelujah, to fathom, you know, what Jesus can do for us. And so when we limit him now by saying, God, I want you to do this for me and do that, when God has said, I have a bigger plan for you, just trust me, no man, just allow me to know. The thing about Holy God is that he's such a gentleman. He's not,
He's not superimposing anything on anybody. If you want help and you ask him, he'll give it to you. But if you feel like you don't need his help, he's not pushing anything on you. Amen. And so that's why sometimes we end up down a road where God never sent us there. So, you know, because we lean to our own understanding. But God is saying that, you know, we have access to that limitless power. Let us call out to him. Let us surrender to him and say, instead of saying, God, can you please open this door? Say, God, which door do you want me to walk through? What direction do you want me to go? Because I can tell you, my God, I'm telling you from experience, he will blow your mind. I've been mind blown a couple of times, well, with Holy God, because what I didn't think he could do, he has done. Mighty God. And so let us access this limitless power. Let us use it. Let us access and stand on the promises of God. Let us not be complaining and murmuring and get fed up and, you know, let's not shortchange God. He has it for us. Let us allow him to give it unto us. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to ask my reader, Brother Emmanuel, to read chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Quickly.
Okay. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Ashvath, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and on the plains south of Chinneroth, and in the valley and in the borders of Dor, on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite, into the Hittite, into the in the Perizzite, and the Jebusite, in the mountains, and to the Hivite, under Hermon, in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. And when all the king, when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom, and to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. That is the reading of the word of God.
Bless the Lord. Thank you so much, Brother Emmanuel. And so, in summarizing what he just read, we see where the northern king heard of what happened, of how Joshua and his army, joined with the Gibeonites, would have defeated the kings of Jerusalem. And so they learned of this, and what had happened to the southern kings, and they joined forces and gathered the kings to attack the Israelites. Amen. The Bible says that when they were joined, the multitude was like sand grains on the sea. One translation says, sand. You imagine going to the sea and see the number of grains of sand on the beach. Plenty. This was a huge obstacle for Joshua. And you know, when I read further on in that same chapter, it talks about the weaponry of the chariots, that they were advanced, you know. And so when you think about the size of the army and the advanced weaponry of the chariots and so on that was coming to attack Joshua, that alone in and of itself should have brought Joshua to a point where he was scared because of the magnitude of it. But when we think about it, we know that based on what Joshua would have gone through, he knew God for himself. He knew the power of God. And so he wasn't scared at all. My God. Once again, God would have assured them in this chapter that, listen, by tomorrow time, the hand, I will deliver them. I will deliver this army into the hand of the Israelites. So they were assured once more. And just like how it was said, so it was done. The word of God came to pass, and Joshua and his army was able to defeat the massive army and retrieve the promises, the land promised to them by Almighty God. Joshua walked in obedience to what God says. When we examine, like I said, the magnitude of the army and the resources, we can say for sure this was the hand of God, because this army had more manpower. It had better, more resources, more advanced resources too, right? But Joshua and his army, they didn't have that physical strength, but they had God. They had the strength of Almighty God, and that's all they need, you know? I believe that God wanted to show the Israelites that even with the resources that the northern kings had and their armies, all of what they had, they could still lose a war. They could still lose the war because they didn't have God. They had more resources, yes, but they didn't have the help that Joshua had. Joshua had God. My God. For Joshua and his men to face the army, we can see that they really trusted God. Amen? The northern king trusted in the resources and the weaponry, but Joshua and his army trusted in Almighty God. Let us think about ourselves. In what do we trust? Do we trust in our circumstances? Whose report do we believe? Do we trust in what we perceive to be the reality? Or do we trust, like really, really trust in God? Because if we trust in God, you know, it doesn't matter what the circumstances is. It doesn't take away from who God is. It doesn't take away from who God is. When all hell is breaking loose, God is still God. And if we trust him, and we rest in his promise, we are not bothered. We're not disturbed by anything that is happening around us. All the havoc that the enemy seem to be reaping. We know who we are. We know who our Father is. And we just rest in Almighty God. Some circumstances may seem insurmountable in our lives and overwhelming, yes. And we may even be tempted to give up. But tonight we're reminded that we trust in God, not in chariots and horses. We will remember the name of the Lord, our God. Praise.
And Sister Camille, if you realize that, if you go to verse 6, what the strategy that God used to hamstring permanently, to cripple the horses. The tendon on their legs, so they couldn't move, right?
Yes. Amen.
That God used to all the horses and chariots. That's what God did to the horses.
Amen. And that's why the scripture that says we trust in, some trust in chariots and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. We can't, God is showing us, you know, those who trust in chariots and horses, how easily their idols, so to speak, would have been defeated. Just the hamstring, Sister Lynette. Just the hamstring, my God, and the horses would have been defeated. Hallelujah! But when we trust in Almighty God, then our God is undefeated. One right, yes. Undisputed, undefeated champion of all. Hallelujah! Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah! God. Hallelujah! God. Thank praise you, God. Jesus.
And so when this chapter pretty much wraps up with the conquest.
And Christoph
in a series of battles, right? And they were that were won by the Israelites. And you notice I said series, which means that this was something that was ongoing. Series. You know, when you're watching a series on the TV, the moment one episode finishes, another one starts. No, the conquest is a series of battles that Joshua had to fight. And from the beginning of the book, we see where Joshua and his army, they are fighting, and they get one victory and they overcome and they think this is it, and it's another battle that they're faced with.
Yes.
But we see where, you know, they kept going. They kept winning through the power of God, and they kept going, you know? Territory after territory, as God would have commanded them, they went. This shows great perseverance and strength on their part. They persisted, and even though it was one war after the next, they endured.
Mm.
How many times have we been to a place where I felt like throwing in the towels? I know I have. If I'm being honest, I know I have.
Oh, God.
That place. Mm-hmm. It's as though things were happening one after the other, and I just feel like I can't go any further. And I say, God, I can't do this no more. My God. But here I am. You know, I remember throwing the towel to God one night in the closet. And he threw it back by me and said, wipe your face, woman. We say, it just came across so clear. Me, I said, me, I love you. I said, God, are you talk to me? So, because I was so frustrated, you know, with the ministry that I'm a part of, the one that God would have allowed me to lead. And I felt so overwhelmed. And, you know, the passion that I had, it never feel like persons had the same passion. And I was just crying. And I said, God, I'm going to give it up. God, I'm not going to do it anymore. God, me just tired. I'm going to focus on me and just read my Bible and focus on my family. God, me can't do this. I'm done. And he just, it's almost, I said, God, I threw it in the towels. And I hear him say, woman, wipe your face. And let's go again. And I had to humble my little self, you see, in front of God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. You're going to help me off to do this now then. If you're telling me I need to go and I need you to show me how to do this.
Amen. His grace sufficient. His grace is
grace. His grace is grace. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. So after he defeated the kings and hamstring the horses and burnt the chariot, he did everything that God told him to do. And Joshua was so meticulous. He followed every single detail. Sometimes God give us some instruction and we deviate a little from the instruction. But not Joshua. He was on track. He did every single thing that God would have commanded him to do. He left nothing undone. Hallelujah. And the victory was theirs. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, when we continue, we see where Joshua conquered several cities and the territories in the promised land, establishing the presence and influence of the people of Israel. So because of what they had done, people know about them. You know, when something happened and in society, when one person does something and they stand out, their presence and their influence, people start to hear about them. So also they started to hear about Joshua and this leader that bring this army and defeat all of these different places and overtake them, you know.
Yes.
And so their presence was established. Amen. And because of their perseverance and diligence, Joshua was able, through the power of God, the Bible says it's 31 kings.
31 kings conquered.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 31 of them that were defeated, and they were able to take hold of their properties. My God. I wonder what would happen if God had told Joshua, by the end of this time, by the end of this conquest, you're going to defeat 31 kings and take over their property. I wonder if that information was available to Joshua. I wonder how he would react, you know? But, and it just goes to show, I don't think Joshua expected that this would be it, you know? But it just goes to show that when we allow God to lead us, the results will be mind-blowing. Amen? It will be far more than we're able to think or imagine.
Amen.
The war, it was said that the war lasted for 7 years. But after time passed, they received the promised land. 7 years, you know, can you imagine? 7 years. How long have we been fighting? Some of us is only a year or two. Some of us is even a couple months, even a few weeks. And already we're questioning, God, me can't do this no more. God, where are you in this situation? Where are you? My God, 7 years, one after the other. No break. My God, perseverance at its best. And if we are children of God and we're going to receive and inherit what God has in store for us, we must persevere in Jesus' name. We must persevere. We must persevere. It doesn't matter how long you are fighting. Let me remind you tonight that if God has given you a promise, it will not happen in your timing. It will happen in God's timing. The word of God says, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. And so even if it don't happen, it doesn't take away from the promise. Amen? The children of Israel did not inherit the promise and the first generation, but the second generation did. God's promise are yes and amen. It came through. And so even if we don't see it manifest in front of our eyes within our timing, just know God's promises are timeless. There is no limitation. You can't, there's nothing that can stop these promises from manifesting as long as we adhere to the conditions of these promises.
Faith and obedience.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Based on obedience. Praise God. When we look at chapters 13 to 21, it really sums up the division of the land or the inheritance to the different tribes of Israel. So they are living in their promise now. They would have worked and done their part, and now they get to inherit the land that God had promised them. Now, when we look at the land and how it was shared, it wasn't shared equally. You know, their allotments were different. It was based on the size of their needs, one theologian would have put it, you know, based on the size of their needs. Joshua was told how much land to give to what tribe and so on. I mean, I tell you how the man meticulous, you know, every detail him follow, everything God tell him to do, him just do it, right? And so Joshua, when he would have given out the land, he encouraged them to remain faithful to God, because each tribe now was responsible for fighting for their own areas. Joshua reminded them of their spiritual responsibilities. We have spiritual responsibilities, you know? As children of God, there are certain things we're not allowed to do. There are certain things we're not allowed to say. My God, I would have conversations with my father, and, you know, we would talk, and he would say, Camille, there are certain things we're not allowed to say that. God not permit to say that. And I'm not talking about profanity or so. No, I'm talking about just some little things, some little negative thing. We're not allowed to say it. If life and death is in the power of the tongue, we can't talk anyhow. We are royalty. We're a holy priest, royal priest of a holy nation. The word
Hallelujah.
Of the Lord. We're a chosen generation. Certain things we can't identify with. If we're going to identify with God, we have to identify with the things that are of God. You know, I didn't have a problem, and I didn't see anything wrong with idol jesting and so on initially, you know, until I was convicted. If this conversation is not going to bring glory unto God, why do I need to be a part of it? And that's it. It's as simple as that. All that I do is supposed to glorify God. So if it's not glorifying God in any way, why am I a part of it? And I'm not saying we can't, you know, feel overwhelmed and decide to share with somebody, of course. And we share with somebody and that person listen, because we need that as human beings. We need a safe space to pour out, and that's fine. But then after that, you know, the person, you know, is supposed to conclude with prayer right there. It's supposed to conclude with, you know, casting it on Jesus. Amen? And then that's when glorifying God comes in. And then that's the conversation we're allowed to be a part of. So Joshua reminded them of their spiritual responsibilities. You know, when I think about how the land was shared and each different tribes got different portion, I reflect on the church. I reflect on the anointing and how it is distributed. Because the anointing of God is, everybody don't carry the same anointing. You know, we have different measures based on how God sees it fit to deposit on us, right? We have different measures and different types of anointing. One person might sing and minister through song. Lord knows I'm not that person. I don't have the singing voice. Amen. But I might be able to pray, you know? And so we have different unique gifts and anointing that God would have given unto us for us to embrace and to seek him, that we may know more about him. So Manasseh was one of the land, and he didn't, that size, that proportion of land was not the same as the others. You know, it was different. God knew how he wanted it to be shared, and he gave this instruction to Moses, and Moses wrote it down, and Joshua carried out those same instructions that God would have given. And it's the same thing with our gifts. No two persons have the same gifts. God has given us different gifts, but all gifts are important. None of them are more than the other. None of them are less than the other. All of them are for the functioning of the body of Christ. The Levite tribe did not receive an allotment of land. Instead, they received the opportunity and were able to communicate directly with God. So they didn't get anything physical, but they got that opportunity. My God, I would want the opportunity to be able to communicate directly with God. And sometimes when you think about our gifts, sometimes it's easily identified. This person can do this and do that and do that. But sometimes our calling focuses on spiritual service rather than physical gain. The Levites never have gained anything physically, but spiritual service, they were able to connect with God directly. That's an honor. That's an honor, you know. My God, some of us, I like the Levites, were called to surrender our time to and to service, which is dedicated unto Almighty God. And so, while some of us receive gifts that may help us to gain physically, because we can do this and we gain money, or we do this and we get earthly possession, some of us, our gifts, we are called to a deeper level of anointing, a deeper connection with Holy God. And that can bring not physical gain, but spiritual deliverance. It can bring empowerment. My God, there's so much that you can get, you can give, maybe not physically, but in the spirit. My God, there's so much that
hallelujah
through you. And so we are to just embrace our gifts. Amen. We embrace them and seek God about them, that we can understand it some more and be able to do, hallelujah, what he wants us to do. And so, I'm trying to condense as I go along, because I really want to finish tonight in Jesus' name. Praise God. The Levites, since they didn't receive a proportion of land as their inheritance, they were scattered all over the city, you know? So, Jesus has equipped us as believers all over the world to be his light. We're on this platform tonight. Some of us are in Jamaica. Some of us in Georgia. Some of us in North Carolina. Some of us in Florida. We're all over the world, but we're connected to one source. One source, Almighty God. And we are expected to reflect that light, that others may come. Hallelujah. May come unto Almighty God. Though we may not be able to share the gospel, sometimes we have to be careful how we do it, you know. But lifestyle evangelism is what they can't prevent us from doing that. They can't prevent us from reflecting the light of God. Even when we don't say anything out of our mouth, persons can see, and you know, that demeanor, that person carry themselves. Oh man, there's something different about that person. And we know it's the light of God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As these chapters close off, we see where Caleb came. Caleb came forth to claim his inheritance. Now, by this time, Caleb was like 85 years old, the Bible says. And even after many years, Caleb still held on to God's promise, and his faith never wavered. He claimed the inheritance and chased the giants out of the land. This is so powerful. My God, we see the fulfillment of God's promise even many years after. When God gives us a word, we might not see the manifestation immediately, but just know that it will be manifested in his timing. There are several promises that God have given unto me, and some of them look like it started manifested and was short-lived, you know, and terminated. But guess what? I rest in that promise. And I remind him, I said, God, remember that you promised me this. I am holding on to this promise until it reaches a place or a time when it is manifested. I'm not giving up. So Caleb, even after many years, claimed that promise. God's promises are timeless. There are no restraints and no limits to God's promises. They are not like the food we eat when we go to the grocery store and it has an expiration date. God's promise not have no expiration date. God's promises are yes and amen. Amen. And even if it don't happen, no, it will happen. It's no expiring. Oh, it expires after April 2025. It won't. No. It doesn't have an expiration date. They are inevitable as long as we adhere to the conditions. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to look at chapters 21 to 24. Praise God. Now, these chapters now talk about really when the land was divided and shared according to the instructions of the Lord. Now, they were also instructed to build cities of refuge to provide protection for those who are accused of manslaughter. So this provided the opportunity in the event that somebody was accidentally killed. You know, they could run to these cities of refuge and would be given an opportunity to experience fairness and justice in these cities. This instruction was given to Moses, who wrote it down, and Joshua brought out the mandate. It was sort of like a government. God knew that they would need to have this, and he would have made preparation for this to be done way ahead of time. So these Levites now, remember the Levites that didn't get any land allotment, and they had spiritual access to connect with God. These Levites that were scattered across the land were in these cities now. They were called to spiritual service. And so they served the ones, and they mediated and offered justice and fairness for those persons who really would commit, you know, would kill a man or a woman, so to speak, accidentally. They had a fair trial. That's what these cities allowed. Now, all right, after this was done now, Joshua would have sent back some of the tribe back to from Canaan back to Gilead on the other side of Jordan, where Moses told them that they had belonged. When they went, they built an altar unto God. And when the other tribes heard, they thought that this altar was unto idolatry. So they went with the intention to fight them, knowing that God would destroy the Israelites if this was true. But when they went, it really wasn't an altar of idolatry. No, they wanted to build an altar so that their children could see, you know, I am worshiping the true and living God. And so when the children of the other tribes came over, they would know, yes, our ancestors, your ancestors worship the true and living God. And so these children are doing the same. And it just made us think about, most of us on the platform are parents. What legacy are we leaving for our children? What are we deposited in them? You know, yes, we work hard so we can have earthly possessions, the house and the car and the land. And that's, nothing is wrong with that. That's good. And we want to make it right for our children. But what spiritual principles are we exposing them to? What foundation are we building so that when we're not here, when they can run, come and say, mommy, this happened, pray. Daddy, this happened, pray. My God, my God. Will they be able to stand? Because that's one of our spiritual responsibilities as children of God. Yes, expose them to the word. Expose them to the word of God. I remember not feeling well and coming home from school one day, and just, I think I was sitting in the settee, and my son said, what happened to you? And I said, I'm not feeling well. And he came and rested his hand on me, and he prayed. You know, my son is 11 years old, very shy, but him rest him hand and him pray. And I sat there and I received the prayer. And when me done, me say, amen. You know,
hallelujah.
We have to let them know. We need to testify to them. Come on, man. We need to talk to them. Let them know the power of God. We testify to him. I remember one devotion we were having, and we were talking about the power of God and how we just need to walk in obedience to God, and then we have access to the things that God, you know, would want, would allow for to be in our lives according to what is good for us. And we were talking about it, and it was time to pray now. We're having a competition at school. At that time, I was teaching fifth grade and he was in fourth grade. And when he started praying in the middle of the prayer, to control myself from laughing, he started praying at him class when the competition over my class. You know, just letting him know that, listen, you have access. You have access to a God that hears and answers prayer. He take it and turn it around on me. You know, but we need to pour into them that they may know the power of God. We need to expose them to the word, the word. The word is going to be the food that will keep them. And when they go out there and they're tempted to make a decision, the word of God pulls them back because they remember what the word of God says. And so if he comes and try to say anything to me in a manner that I don't like, I will start, children, obey your parents, and you will finish it in the Lord, for this is right. And then I said, what comes after that? Honor thy father. I'm saying, honor me now. You know, use the word to correct them. Let them know what the word is, what it means, what is expected of them. And when they don't live up to that expectation, go back to the word. Go back to the word to show them and allow them to reflect. You don't have to tell them everything, you know. Just ask them questions and give them, bring them to a place of reflection. Amen. Praise God. And Sister Ava, I'm going to ask you to get ready to read as I share one last thing before you go. He came home from church and I was asking him what was the pastor talking about. He said the pastor spoke about being on the edge. So I said, what that mean? And he shared, you know, being on the edge, mommy, are you in or are you out? So are you in, meaning are you in a good relationship with Christ and you're doing what he's supposed to do? And or are you out in the world, you know, living a certain way? So I said to him, so are you in or are you out? He said, I'm on the edge. Somebody said, on the edge? Really? And he said to me, mom, it's better for me to be honest with you and know and admit where I am and work towards better than for me to tell you that I am in when I know that I am not. And when he said that to me, now I had to just receive it. I'm going to say, all right. So know that you know that you're on the edge. You know that you know what you're doing wrong. So we're going to work on what you're doing wrong to get you into that place. You know, so many times we feel like they don't know. Them know. They do know. All right, Sister Ava, go ahead and read for us while I wrap this up.
Okay, blessings. I would read from Joshua 24 from verse 1 to 15. Yes. And I'm reading from the New International. Then Joseph assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent the Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I deliver you out of his hands. Out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, Gershites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the onyx ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestor worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. 15 and last. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestor served beyond Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Thank you so much, my dear sister Ava. God bless
Blessings.
You. Praise God. So this, what Sister Ava would have read would have been a portion of Joshua's farewell speech, where he was, you know, reflecting on the journey that the Israelites had undertaken from the day that the covenant was made to that point in time, with and the journeys and the victories that they would have received. And one thing that we noticed was constant throughout the journey is God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promises. Joshua acknowledged the source of their victory. He knew that it wasn't because of them. You know, he knew that God was in the story, and that's why the victory was theirs. It wasn't the military techniques, it was God. He challenged in his speech the Israelites to be faithful servers of God. He warned them, like we are warned, against complacency and compromise. He told them that even if people are living close to you who still engage in worshiping other gods, don't be drawn into it. You have seen what God has done for you. Do not disobey his commands, because God will turn against you when you walk in disobedience. He says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He charged the people and reminded them to walk, that the walk to salvation is a sober decision to make. It's not anything that you can force anybody into. It's a sober decision that requires intentionality. He challenged the leaders, who I expect in turn would challenge their household. He stood and he spoke on behalf of his household. Just like Joshua could not force the Israelites, we can't force anybody into repentance, you know. We can't. But we can encourage them, and we can live a life that they may see the light of God through us, and then they will be drawn. You know, when we as children of God, our households should be centered around prayer, the word of God, around worship. That's what our house should reflect. That's the kind of ambience or atmosphere that we should create in our homes. You know, we shouldn't allow other things to become a priority. Hallelujah, as children of God. And so in just wrapping up in another 30 seconds or so, when we look at the book of Joshua, there are certain things that speaks out, or they just stand out today to us, that we should take away. You know, the kind of person that Joshua was, walking in obedience to Almighty God. And just like we are summoned to that obedience, he followed the word of God to every detail. Joshua never tried to change the word and take it to how he want. The word is the word. And we should take the word for what it is and not try to, you know, reassemble the word to our convenience. And we quote scriptures when we are, what's the word? The Bible would say chastise, you know, when we are rebuked for doing things wrong, instead of owning up, we take the word and we twist it and we find another scripture that is out of context and put it, you know. My God, we are called to that place of repentance and submission to Almighty God. Without submission to God, then this journey, we're going to be on, we're going to fall short. We're going to step out of line. We're going to fail at this journey called salvation. It requires absolute surrender, as Deacon would have shared at the beginning. Absolute surrender, right? Let's be mindful of idolatry. It was evident throughout, but let us not be caught up in that. And like I would have shared, idolatry is not just bowing down to the golden image. It's spending time away from God on social media when you should be in your closet praying. Amen. It's putting other things, money, fame, all of those other things above your relationship with God. Amen. And that's what it really is. Mighty God. But we learn that though they would have faced many insurmountable, what appear to be insurmountable challenges, they inherited the promise of God because of their obedience and their trust and their faith in Almighty God. They endure. Let us stand, children of God, and be faithful to God, obedient to Him and trusting Him. Let us arise and be strong and courageous, knowing the battles we fight, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Almighty God. And yes, they might be challenging, but it does not discredit the promises of God. Let us boldly declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God Almighty, and let us do so in spirit and in truth. I hope that you would have learned something. I hope you are empowered and charged and ready to go onwards with this journey. But and you can go into Joshua and go read. You might get a different revelation. But this is where I take my leave of absence, and I close and hand over to Deacon Scott. God bless you. I hope you're interested and you're ready to go delve deeper into the book of Joshua. God bless you as I hand over to Deacon.
Hallelujah. Bless Amen. The Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. We have been fed the word of God, came forth with power and with clarity. And we see how God would have used Joshua for a period of time. You know, how Joshua would have given himself to be used of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the blessing that he was, we bless God for Sister Camille that presented to us, and to God be the glory. You know, we can see the strength, you know, the conviction in which she shared the word, knowing it is a living word. The word is alive. She mentioned that God assured Joshua that he would have the victory. And we see how Joshua would have dealt with that assurance. He didn't just sit down high goodbye and say, okay, I'm going to get the victory, so I don't need to do nothing. Joshua rose up early in the morning, and he went, and he conquered the cities. You know, Sister Camille would have shared that when you're blessed, when you bless someone, it's not for you to develop an attitude of boasting, but it's for you to just humble yourself. You don't have to let your right hand know what your left hand has done, or vice versa. You know, humble yourself. You said Joshua had supernatural help. His power alone could not have caused any victory over the wars that he fought. But it is the power of Almighty God. The battle is not yours, people of God, but the battle is for God. Give it to Him. You know, but at times we tend to want to fight the battle. There's one song that that I used to hear them singing, when you try everything and everything fail, try Jesus. Mm-mm, but the Bible didn't say that. The Bible say, yes, the Bible didn't say when you try everything and everything fail, try Jesus. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added. You know, so don't fall into that error to try everything and then you take the what left and carry come throw down. And stuff when you're broke, busted, and disgusted, you know, you're on the last breath, just the last breath left to breathe, and you're going to just throw that. You didn't even witness to a soul. You didn't even read the word of God and let it apply to your whole life, But the what left that you find yourself with after you have been inflicted and defeated, you know, when sickness take over your body and poverty rock your ship and your sails torn up and all your busted tear up from roof down and up again, then you care what is left and you can throw it down, you know. But the word of God tells us, seek ye first. You know, we see where the power of God would have moved upon Joshua when Joshua cried out to God and said, son, stand still. The son obeyed and stood still. And Joshua was able to win the war under the mighty command of Almighty God. You know, so the same power that Joshua used to pray and the same faith, we have that power today and we can do the same things. Amen. Yes. And one thing I want to take away from that too, saints of God, the land wasn't divided equally, but some get according to their need. You know, a lot of people we see in Christendom nowadays, they want the anointing and they want it to sit down with. They don't want, they're not actively involved in missions or evangelism or anything, but they would want the anointing. They would want what they see that brother have or that sister have, just to go sit down with it. The anointing is not for you to go and sit down with. You know, the anointing is for people who are actively involved. You cannot get a prophet anointing unless you're acting in that capacity as a prophet. You cannot get an evangelist anointing unless you're acting in that thing. Did you know that giving is a ministry? And you cannot have a giving ministry unless you are working in that ministry. You know, and point to note, what you see is exhibit from a brother or sister life. It's what you see. You don't see what the brother or sister went through to reach that point where they're exhibiting that on the outside. You weren't there the night when God touched him and rescued him and imputed in him righteousness. You weren't there the night and the days that you were there fasting and praying for the glory of God to be revealed in his life. But what you see is the manifestation of what would have happened inside, the monument that is on the inside. Yes. And you know, with your red eye, would want to covet that gift that God has so entrusted in that person's life. You know, so as we walk the walk of faith, let us earnestly seek the gift. Earnestly seek the gift and the calling what God would have given unto you and me. Earnestly seek it, desire it, have a desire for it. And it's not just, the desire is not just a lip speaking per se. It is a condition. It comes with the condition that you must fulfill. You cannot be there trying to reap what you did not sow. Put in the time and the effort in it. You're here tonight and Bible study. You sacrifice your time. There are so many things that you could have done. So you know that this time that you have put in, some hour or the other, some word that were spoken tonight is going to rest indelibly on your heart. And when you go through trials, when you go through tribulations, something from it you will remember to keep you steadfast, to keep you focused, knowing that it is possible because others have done it before and you again can do it. Amen. So tonight we want to welcome all our first time members that are here with us. I see some, Sister Nicola. I see Sister Nicole, she was on earlier on. I don't know if she's still here. Sister Ibang, Sister Chantel, and Sister Chantal. Yeah, the names are close. Chantel and Chantal. We bless God. Sister Tracy. Sister Erica is an unavoidable absent tonight. Yeah, she sent and let us know that she wasn't going to be able to join. And also Sister Campbell, she's unavoidable absent tonight. You know, so as always said, this is a, a platform where we come to vent. You know, it's no one man show or no one man thing. You know, so we have persons taking active part in it on a weekly basis. And it's a place where you come to grow. If you're here on this platform and you have been coming for weeks, months, years, or whatever, you have been coming and you don't grow, it's not nice. So this is, yeah, it's not nice. You know, so when you come to this platform, you will grow in the name of Jesus. You will grow. You hear what the name of this platform is? Faith Defenders Bible Study Group. Faith Defenders. We are being equipped and trained to defend our faith, defend our calling. Amen. Yes, so I bless God for y'all tonight as we close off. As we close off tonight, we're gonna ask Sister Allison to close us off tonight as we give God thanks. Amen, Sister Allison.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Father God. We worship you. We praise your name, Father. Father God, we give you glory. Oh, we cry, Abba, yes, Father, Lord. Tonight. We thank you for Sister Camille that explored on the word tonight, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that she has allowed herself to be used by you. I pray, Father God, that you'll cover her, oh God, under your blood, Jesus, and that you'll keep her safe within your care. Father God, we know that the enemy walking around roaring like a lion. And oh God, he's trying to devour us, oh God. Those of us who are trying to defend the faith, we know that we will come under attack. But we pray, mighty God, that we'll put on the whole armor of God. And Father God, we'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and that you'll keep us safe. Father God, I just want to give you praise and glory. Father God, thank you for opening up our spiritual eyes tonight, oh God. Thank you, Lord. God, for opening up our ears to receive from you. We worship you, Abba Father. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness, Father God. Father, as your children, we come again to your throne of grace, where we can find grace and mercy. Father God, we thank you for helping us in our time of need. We know, Father, your ears are open to our ever cry. So we come before you asking for mercy tonight, Father.
Jesus.
Some of us are overwhelmed, mighty God, with the issues and our problems and our cares of this world. Help us not to give up. We turn our eyes to the hills from whence comes our help. Father God, our help comes from you. You're the maker of heaven and earth, Father. Your word says, we have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Jesus. We wait on you, Lord. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We look to you, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jesus. Father God, anyone on this platform tonight that's sick, we pray your healing, mighty God, over their bodies, Father God. You see our every tear. You know, oh God, every sleepless night your children, oh God, have gone through. You know every heartache, Father God, but every heartache is answered in your promises. We thank you, Almighty God, for your promises tonight. What would become
Hallelujah.
If we do not believe that we'll see your goodness here in the land of the living? Surely your goodness and your mercy follows after us, mighty God. Surround us with your presence tonight. Just as though you were with Joshua, Father God, you are Lord. God of angel armies. Surround us with their armies tonight, Father God.
Yes, Lord. Oh God.
Please allow your wraparound presence to be around your children tonight. Father God, be your rear guard. Turn every situation around, my God. As we're reminded that victory belongs to you, Father God.
Yes,
and
Lord.
And we rest in your victory, oh God. Jesus, all the way to Calvary, you went for us so that you can claim victory. We're operating in the finished work of Calvary tonight.
Yes, Father Lord.
God. Give your children a breakthrough, mighty God. You are Elohim, the Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
To hope and expect to hear from you, to feel you, oh God. We give you all your cares. You said, cast all our cares upon you, Father God. And whatever you promise us, Father, We walk in those promises tonight, just as all you promised the Israelites, oh God. Sometimes we may fall by the way, but pick us back up, oh God. Help us to go
Hallelujah.
In the place which you have promised us, Father God. Give us a breakthrough. We rebuke the devourer right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, just want to thank you for all that you have done for us tonight as we depart from each other. I pray that, oh God, we will not depart from you. Be with every household tonight, oh God. Surround your people, oh God, with your angels, oh God. Encamp at every door. Step, oh God, of their houses, Father God. Let your
Hallelujah. Blood,
God, be on every door, Father God, so that when the enemy see that he would have to pass over. Mighty God, claim victory right now in the name of Jesus. And I just pray tonight, Father God, that you'll be with your children and that we'll operate, oh God, in the finished work of Calvary. And we'll know, oh God, that victory belongs to us, oh God, and we'll walk in the victory, oh God. We will not, God, operate as children who do not know who we serve, but we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
We bless your name, Jesus. Father God. We give you glory. We give you praise. And we just thank you, Father, for all that you have done and will continue to do. You are the God of the exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think or even imagine. So anyone that speaks tonight, oh God, speak to them, oh God, touch them in their point of need. And we just thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless your name.